This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. Win, lose or draw, McDelivery will always help bring home the 3 points. And speaking of points, order now on the McDonald's app and you'll earn reward points through every delivery. Order today, rewards tomorrow. You in? Only via app at participating restaurants, 18+, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This video is sponsored by Voxy, the pay-as-you-go mobile network that gives you unlimited social media for as little as £10 a month. For a limited time, sign up to Voxy through the link in the description to receive a £40 reward after making only 2 monthly payments. You'll also be directly supporting the channel. So click the link in the description to sign up now. Hello and welcome back to the Blues Focus podcast with today's special guest, the Tilton 2. Good afternoon, guys. How are you?
Hey, Sammy. Thanks for having us.
Looking forward
to this one.
Today Jamie and Zach aren't with us, unfortunately. Jamie's in Turkey and Zach is at the Blues, I think, today with the Blues women. So this is why I've decided to bring in the big guns, the big lads, the Tilton 2, Tabriz and Faisal. It's great to have you on, guys. I've been wanting to get you on for a while. Obviously, we did a podcast at the start of the season. Was it start of the season together? It was like...
It merged into one, isn't it?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Definitely, it's a while ago now. It feels like a long time ago.
Yeah.
Really looking forward to having again, mate. Thanks for having us on, mate.
No, it's all good, man. It's great, yeah. Today, as usual, we're going to be reflecting on the QPR game. A win at last. It was good to actually get a win there. And also looking ahead to the Blackburn game as well. And also sort of wondering how we're going to survive the rest of the season. Are we safe? Are we not? So, let's get into it. Guys, what did you think about the games yesterday?
I mean, we were saying we were gutted we couldn't get to that one. QPR away for us is always one we always look forward to. It's one of the games I feel like is fairly, for us anyway, fairly good to get to, easy to get to. And the atmosphere we were saying before we came online. You know, you literally feel like you're right on top of the pitch. So coming into it, massive. And the situation with Watford earlier on in the week, again, every game now feels like, you know, the weight of the world's on it. This one, again, massively important.
Yeah, must result, really. And going into it, to be fair, I felt fairly confident. I mean, a team where I saw their manager come out and his sort of pre-match conference, and they were looking at it as a huge game. Yeah. But there was something around it. I think based on the Watford performance and the games before, I did think that we'd get a result here. And luckily we did. I mean, like you said, we weren't at the game. But to see 3 minutes in and Chongi get himself on a score sheet, I was absolutely buzzing.
Just sets the nerves, doesn't it?
Yeah. Massively.
What about you, Tom?
I immediately saw Albert Adoma in the team. So I thought, here we go, another old Villa player
they're all happily going to score.
It was Keenan Davis against Watford. It's now going to be Adoma against QPR. And he nearly did, actually. He broke through at one point and put a cracking challenge in. Managed to get it over the bar in the end. But he was pretty poor. And so were QPR. They were absolutely shocking yesterday. I don't know about you, but...
Yeah. That's it.
I mean, it was a bit of a scrappy game, to be fair, especially from QPR. Mm. Yeah, not a great performance at all.
That's the thing, we've said it, haven't we, for a while now. It's like we'll play teams and it's almost like, I hate to say it, but I don't want us to get let off because we're playing a poor side.
Mm.
But that's what it feels like. We can't kill teams off. And we come out the back of it and you're thinking, well, it's because they were so poor, really, that's got us through that.
Yeah.
At the end of the season, just to stay up, I'll take whatever.
Yeah.
Right. But if you look at it in terms of like progression, you've got to be killing them teams off. And again, even in the QPR game towards the end of the game, we were just soaking up pressure. I mean, the last minutes, I mean, we held them back, but it's like, you know, you've got no fingernails left by the end of it.
Yeah, I was definitely sat on that sofa clenching my chest at one point when it was literally right at the end of the game, wasn't it? Lyndon Dykes, it dropped to him and he managed to toe poke it wide. So I was just like, oh, thank fuck for that, honestly.
Yeah, exactly. But it's also fairly interesting. It's like the other way around. It's always like Blues turn on as well at the last 10 minutes of the game. I mean, we'll be losing. And all of a sudden, 10 minutes.
Yeah, we have a window where we see it pretty positive.
So
that was against Watford last week, wasn't it? When we had that good period at the start of the second half and just couldn't capitalise on anything.
We know, you just don't do nothing with it. And then we just go begging again.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I liked about Chongi's goal was, even though it was, you know, kind of like a tapping or whatever, I liked that there was a lot of bodies in the box for once. Mm. Recently,
it's true.
Man, you see so many times where obviously, you know, we're trying to get it out wide and get a ball in. Juki's too deep in the pitch, so he's not even in the box. Yeah. We've got nobody. We maybe have Hogan in there or something. But to see, you know, obviously the ball go across and for a few lads to be in there.
Yeah, they were queuing up really, weren't they?
Yeah, I was happy with that.
Yeah, I mean, Reda Kadra as well in the build up to the goal as well.
Reda Kadra, what can you say about that, man?
Yeah.
Bloody hell, the live wire himself.
It really is. I mean, it's funny because we were saying when he first came into the team, you know, he got announced and everything. We were saying, like, I don't know, we were making jokes basically. He looked like a.
I know, I don't really want to say it too much because I'm basically putting egg on my face.
Yeah.
Just thinking, who?
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, he didn't look like he was in the best shape, let's say, when he first came in and stuff. And then literally hit the ground running, didn't he?
Oh, wasn't that easy?
Every time he's on the pitch, he's so direct, such a live wire. Yeah, and the chance he even creates for himself, I mean, that's what we're looking for. I say the same about Bakuna, to be fair. Like, even though there's times or moments where Bakuna's lackadaisical or he's, you know, kind of nonchalant on the ball, he has proper moments of magic and he creates chances for himself. And Kadra's the same, whether that's for other players or himself. Like, the shots he gets off, how direct he is, he's so fast. Defenders must be shitting themselves.
Yeah. No, absolutely. They're very good technical players, aren't they? They've got a good bit about them. It's not like with some of the battlers in the team, like Dean and Duke, who are more physical and more demanding of those players. Which, interestingly, Harley Dean was left out of the team. However, his replacement, Mark Roberts, was absolutely fantastic. What did you guys think to him?
Yeah, massively. I mean, Mark Roberts is a weird one because I think there's like two sides of the camp, isn't there? I think there's some fans that are very much like, what he gives us, he's, you know, he's fairly solid, big body. And when he's on it, he's on it. But then you've also got other people, I think, give him a lot of criticism. Just, I feel like they've got it in their head, right, he's rubbish or he's got mistakes and that's it. There's nothing he's going to do that's going to change their mind kind of thing. So I'm in the camp of where I think he's a valuable defender. I think he gives us, again, he has got mistakes in him, but he is a big body. And when he is on it, I think he's pretty reliable and he's a good defender to have. And I think him and Long, again, I've said it so many times, I've been a bit of a critic of Long, but he is just growing into that position more and more every game. And I mean, him, Long and Roberts, I think yesterday showed
they had a great game. Both really solid.
And were pivotal to us, know, getting that win really and seeing out that pressure.
Yeah, I mean, like what you're saying there, it's Roberts has had a bit of a mixed bag this season, I feel like.
Well, right, not been helped by injuries either.
Yeah, exactly. And then when Dean came in and actually hit form, you know, Dean's looked stronger really this whole season.
Mm.
I did think kind of where does Roberts fit when he comes back into the picture, when he gets, you know, back from injury and stuff. But Now, I think yesterday he was back to top form, really. He was back to being solid. Was back to looking good. And, I mean, in that centre-back position, we need everyone to do a shift.
Yeah.
So, yeah, to see Long as well, like you mentioned, looking solid and each game growing, that's what we need.
Yeah, huge.
No, I completely agree. Yeah, it's good to know that we've got a bit of backup in the defensive options because obviously we played back four yesterday where Trusty played at the left-hand side. So it's good to know that we've got Long, we've got Roberts, we've got Dean, we've got Trusty who can move back in. And some of the younger players as well who, like Alfie Chang, when he came on yesterday, was terrific, wasn't he?
Yeah, I've been a massive fan of him all season, to be fair. Like, I think he's just such a cool head in midfield. And when you look at players that can come in, you know, when I'm going to single out Gary Gardner. When Gary Gardner plays, it's like watching Wimbledon. You know what I mean? The ball is going to go up in the air.
Yeah.
Or he's going to be towards, you know, back facing goal, he's hoofing it over his head. You know, it's just like, and you were saying, Tommy, I think, a really good point of, you know, let's say Chong and Kadra being really technical players. And they are the players really that make things happen. But when the ball is going up in the air, it is next to useless. They can't get into the game. Yeah. You're wasting that outlet completely. So, you know, for me, when I watch the team, I'm looking for the players that, like, you know, will bring the ball down at every given opportunity. We need to be playing the ball on the floor because otherwise you just bypass the best players in our team, really.
Yeah. No, it is true, yeah. I definitely think you have to play towards, obviously, your strengths in the players we've got. Players like Hannibal, obviously, like you said, Kadra, Chong, that need the ball. Even Hogan needs the ball really into his feet, or obviously a flick on Bojuki. But Chang, I think, when he's in the team, I mean, we saw him with, like, Bielik and stuff in the team. Them two, I think, are a really good mix, like, just with the synergy of everyone. Keeping the ball down, playing the ball simple, getting it out to the wings, which is where we want it. And letting the players flourish, really. Like, man, Chang, some of his little passes out to the wing, it just creates chances for us.
Yeah.
It really does,
and he just steadies the ship. It's like Bielik.
Massively.
I think that as well, yeah. It's cool head. It's like a cool head on young shoulders, isn't it? It's really surprising to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think last season, when we saw him, again, bit part, I did think, you know, he's lacking that bit of physicality. This season, it's been a completely different player. You know, I mean, if I look at last season, you look at Jordan James, he was a player who kind of came into the fold and kind of grew. Whereas this season, if anything, I feel like he's kind of like, maybe not to any fault of his own, but he's almost kind of like shrunk a little bit in terms of the way he's been playing or his involvement, I feel like. Whereas Chan's come in. And again, he's taking that position from Jordan James. I think if one of the young lads is coming on midfield, it's going to be Chang for me all day. So, I mean, it's huge. I mean, you look at all the young players, to be fair, Tom. Hall now, I think, looks like what a player. As long as Troy Deeney doesn't try and get him moved on.
Well, he's 18, isn't he, still? And considering he looks like a first-team player, you would never think he's still classed as one of our young players. It's insane.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I think all the young players, to be fair, have really done a shift. Like, every time any of them come on the pitch, it's not like... I mean, I remember, obviously, when sort of the end of Bowyer's, well, when he started, really, obviously, we saw some of these players start featuring. And I was thinking, you know, you see the talent there. But to come on, what, literally a season and a half onwards or whatever it is, and them all to pretty much develop into what you could have as all really starting lineup players. Obviously, you know, you'd prefer Bielik or whoever on the pitch, but if you've got that depth, none of them go amiss. None of them go amiss. Whenever they come on the pitch, whatever, you don't feel like it's a loss to the team. It's a strength. And to see they're only that young and doing that much, I mean, I have to give, hopefully anyway, I hope it is, whoever the backroom staff, the training staff, and John Eustace, a pat on the back for that, because I'd like to think, just from what we've seen this season, Eustace has played a massive factor in their development.
Mm. So in terms of the Eustace in or out situation, I imagine you guys are pretty much in, aren't you?
I'm definitely John Eustace in.
Yeah,
definitely.
I was teetering the line, to be fair, like last week and this week, based on the games that we had, like Rotherham, obviously this game, QPR.
It's fickle, this one.
I know. It's hard not to be tough. But now, overall, I have been used to seeing the whole time, to be fair.
I love you.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
I was teetering the line.
Was he not a few weeks ago?
Like you said, teetering the line is probably being... He's probably fairly accurate, won't we say? Yeah. What about you, Tommy? What do you reckon?
Now that I think of it, I'm really not too sure. I feel like... I would just say... I'd say out, because I feel we could do better. But I do appreciate the work that he's done. I would have loved to have gotten Chris Wilder. I feel that was a bit of a miss, really. Yeah. But knowing him at Watford, he'll probably get the sack by the end of the season for no reason at all. So, I feel like Eustace has done the good job that he's done what he's been brought in to do, really, which is keep the ship afloat and make sure we don't go down. So I'm pretty happy with the work that he's done. But in terms of is he going to get us into the playoffs or push us up the table, I'm not too sure. We'll have to see.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just think where we are, I think, coming into the season, relegation favourites, where we are now, I think, don't get me wrong, the season, we said it earlier, didn't we? It's been a bit of a rubbish season. In terms of, you know, I think the way we've played in some parts, you know, we nearly went on two spells of having five consecutive defeats. So you can't look past that. But in some games, I mean, the one key standout game for me and really pisses me off how you go from one extreme to the other is the Albion game. You know, you look at the Albion game, how well we played, and then following game, what we lost. And then we went on and just played shit football. And you think, how can you go from one extreme to the absolute other? But I do think we've seen under Eustace, regardless of like results or anything like that, I think he's definitely brought back. You can see the players want to play for him. And I think that's something as fans probably don't get a great insight into. Obviously, we're not in the changing room and all of that part, but they definitely want to play for him. And I think if you look back to last season, you know, and you'll remember those scenes at Blackpool with Bowyer sitting in the dugout and
even look with Karanka. I mean, it's been seasons now where we've had managers that just lose the dressing room.
Completely, yeah. And I think there's something for that. And the scenes after games as well, you know, especially when you're going away, the scenes of Eustace, you know, he'll be grabbing some of them lads and going, no, you go over to them fans and you make sure, you know, you clap them and, you know, you appreciate the support. I think stuff like that as well, outside of the, you know, like let's say that the performances on the pitch, those things need to be noted as well, because I think it makes a massive difference and sets a precedent for all of the lads. So for me, that's kind of where I sit with Eustace. I don't want to go out the frying pan into the fire thinking, because if I was a manager, I'm looking at Birmingham City as like the last place I'd want to go, if I'm being completely honest. Like the club, the training ground's on fire. The books, the ownership need to be on fire. You know, it's literally, right, I'm not touching them with a 10-foot barge pole. Unless you support Birmingham City, what are you coming here for? That's what it kind of feels like at points. So, I'm trying to make an argument for Eustace.
It is a weird one because I do see both arguments, really, in terms of there's plenty of games, especially more recently, where even tactically or substitutions or whatever, or even the starting lineup, where I think that formation just, you know, needs to be binned for this game. You know, maybe a week aside we can play our wing packs or whatever, but there's just certain times where there is frustration, I think, especially, as you know, obviously going to St. Andrews and stuff, you know, now a lot of the fans are onto it from the get-go. You know what I mean? There's frustration from the first whistle, really, on certain things. So, it's a weird one, man. I can really see how fans fall on either side of the fence. Yeah. It's just the main thing for me, which is why I'm hesitant on falling over to Eustace out, is just exactly that. Who are our other options, really? That's what it comes down to, basically.
Constant changing.
Exactly.
It is a real difficult one, isn't it? Because you don't want to go too over ambitious at the same time. Because if you say someone like Wilder, then if we do somehow manage to get him, we've gone very ambitious with the manager, but the team then might not be able to sort of match his standards.
And you're changing hands all the time. You know, the ideology of the team playing and stuff like that, it completely changes. And I think that can, that could hinder the way you play. I mean, already all of our best players pretty much loanies anyway, so I can't wait for next season, mate.
I cannot wait.
We're going to be in another, you know, yo-yo or roller coaster.
Wait to see the transfer embargo come through.
Oh, yeah, and the point deduction. Bring it up.
Honestly, what is next season going to be like? If this season is bad, what the hell's...
That's tomorrow's problem. Let's stay up and we'll deal with that later.
That's for future Homer to worry about. Honestly. I'm really surprised, though, we didn't score more yesterday. Like, the first half, it could have been like a repeat of that 4-3 game. Like, literally, they were shockingly bad at the back.
Yeah.
It could have been 3 or 4 to
Juki could have had maybe 2.
He could have had about a double hat trick at half time. I'll
tell you what, he had a lovely bit of play there. Remember, we took the ball down, flicked it like over his head, and then volleyed it. The angle was terrible. Like, he'd have to do some real special there, but just that play.
A bit of flair.
Yeah.
If I had squirmed beneath his legs, I'd think I'd have actually screamed, honestly, because it was Van Basten esque or something. It was like, what the hell? Van Djukovic.
Okay. I always, you know, and everyone screamed, Djukovic.
It could have been a whitewash, to be fair, by the end of the first half.
It should have been. And had it have been a better team, that probably we could have lost that game, I think. Because it was it was just one of those games where I felt like we take the lead early on. We've then got to pretty much sit in for the whole of the 90 minutes and make sure that we don't concede again. But it wasn't like that. We were on the front foot again. We were getting at them. But then if you are getting at them, make sure that you score. Don't turn it into another Watford and just continue to put the ball wide and miss opportunities here and there. It's just like, capitalize on it, punish them. You know, that we haven't punished the team very well this season. The best one I can think of is Bristol City at home.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. It is 100%. It's that quality of finishing teams off that we completely lack. Like you said, you know, a lot of the times we have, or we do get teams to engage in like a scrappy game or whatever, a scrappy affair. But even when we play better or have the chances, we haven't got anyone who's got that clinical touch and finishes it off.
Yeah.
I mean, even in some games, like that game you said, you know, we could have got the loss there, even though we should have been 3-4-0 up at the first half. Let's say we were 2-0 up. We see plenty of times where even then, you know, a team gets a goal in the second half and the game's completely flipped around. Completely flipped around.
Go on. Okay. We're going to have a technical issue with it. I'm going to have to go and get a laptop, Charlie. Can you believe it? But you're going to play some Benny Hill music.
While we do that, we're going to have a word from our sponsors.
This video is sponsored by the Modern Milkman. Join the Milk Round and get a wide variety of fresh milk, groceries and household products delivered straight to your door in reusable containers and recyclable packaging. By signing up using the link in the description, you'll receive £15 off your first 3 weeks and you'll also be directly supporting the channel. So click the link in the description to sign up now. Now back to the video.
Yeah, finishing games off, getting the win, securing the bag, which we never do.
Yeah.
It's always a nail-biting finish, pretty much.
There's only been a few moments in the last few seasons where I felt like we were just like absolutely cruising. There was a couple of times this season, obviously with West Brom at home and Bristol City at home, and Luton away last season, of course, when we won 5-0. I mean, like, how easy was that? That was insane. That was.
I know. Tom was the best player in the championship.
At that point, I was genuinely firing up the promotion bus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were so... Was that the second game of the season?
It was early.
It was early on, yeah.
Yeah. We were thinking, we're absolutely... I mean, I'm always doing that. I literally, if we win one game, I was thinking, that's it. We finally turned the page and this is it now. This is it.
I couldn't be more opposite to you. I'm like, we win a game. I'm like, nah, don't buy into it. It's a load of nonsense. Yeah. We're going to lose the next three.
If I don't, honestly, it's a depressing journey being a Blue Man, isn't it? So, yeah, any kind of glimmer of hope, I try and cling on to any way I can. But, yeah, we've still got some games of the season. That's the mad thing, isn't it? It's still, the championship doesn't let up, so long way to go.
So let's move on then and talk about Blackburn. I mean, how many weeks away is it? It's the 19th today, and then we play them on the 1st. It's like two weeks away.
Yeah.
2 weeks for the international break. Come on, what's the fucking point?
I know, mate. Trust me. Yeah. I do not care. Could not care less. I really couldn't.
It's really such a pain, honestly. I can't be arsed with any of it. April 1st. Blackburn.
Yeah,
I mean, are we confident for this one? Blackburn are still doing pretty decent.
They are, mate, and they're a good side. I think they've always been a good side, especially with, I look at, Blues, Blackburn games. They're never an easy. I always feel like they turn up against us. I mean, the positive of it being 2 weeks, we can't use the excuse of our tired legs, and that seems to be bandied around all the time, as if other teams aren't playing two games in a week, and, an extra day makes all the difference. So that's one positive. Hopefully we'll have, no more excuses. But in terms of, how do I feel about going into Blackburn? I don't actually know, being completely honest. I think it's going to be a really tough game. They're a physical side, a good side. And with it being 2 weeks away, I feel like form really goes out the window. It's kind of like a fresh start. And again, with Blues, you don't know what you're going to get.
No, I mean,
here's something for you then. So are we going to do the opposite of the last international break we had? So obviously we went into the World Cup period doing brilliantly and came out terribly. So are we going to go in relatively terribly and come out brilliant towards the end of the season?
I'll take that somewhere. Oh, no. I'll go with that. Yeah, I'm going with that. Yeah, we're having a light promotion push now.
Actually, we are currently on 45 points and Millwall are sixth on 60. So we're going to have to win a lot of games.
That is so much.
It's like five wins in hoping that everybody else above us in between that point doesn't win any games anytime soon, which ain't going to happen, let's be honest.
Well, I don't know about that one, but I mean, the positive thing is we're now 9 points off the relegation spots, and that for me is huge. It's huge.
Everyone's huge. Everyone's huge. Yeah, I don't know what to make of it either, to be fair. I'm hoping, like you said, we come out and we look rejuvenated. But yeah, it's a tricky one. It's a tricky one. Without sounding pessimistic, obviously it is.
They're definitely favourites to beat us. But I feel like Blues as well, against teams we should be beating, we end up playing to their strengths, or our level of play drops. And then teams that are better than us, or you'd expect, higher up in the table, I feel like we end up elevating our performances or start playing up to their level. So,
yeah, it's interesting you bring that up, actually. I was thinking that the other day. It's like we do stoop to their level, don't we? Like lower teams that are playing badly.
Yeah, it's scrappy, and I feel like we go back to, you can see us get nervy. Do you know what I mean? That's when I feel like it comes out, like head tennis and just booting the ball away. And I hate that.
No, it's true. Yeah.
It was another point, but I hate it. From kickoff, that ball goes straight back to Long now, and he just hoofs it every game. What are you doing? Yeah.
And also Mark Roberts' long throw made
a return
the other day as well.
But you know what? That Barnsley, he's the Barnsley Beckham, I tell you. He's got a little delivery on him, Eddie Roberts.
He does have a little delivery.
He does, when he gets it. I do like the Barnsley Beckham. I'm a bit partial. I'm like his fucking fan club, isn't
I? Know.
John, I'm decided to make a petition that Mark Roberts should no longer take that long throw, but rather should do like a little 1-2 and then just cross the ball instead.
But teams know that that's a thing, isn't it? Teams that when he goes for the throwing, they know what's happening, and they're not that great because they're just like, you want it like long and flat, really, with some pace, and it is just go.
Right, the conversion rate literally must be 0%.
Yeah,
it's close to 1%. I'm pretty sure.
It's mental.
Yeah, but yeah, joys and sorrows, isn't it, the Blues?
Go on, then. What do you think of the Blackburn game?
Yeah, I think
we're going to win. We do well against Blackburn at home. I know I'm pretty confident for us, really.
Sam Gallagher's going to score. I think you saw him score an own goal today, I think it was.
Well, if he could score an own goal against us, that'd be great, because he shushed us the last time he scored against us. I understand it when, like, Davis does it to us, obviously, because he's an old Villa player, but
yeah.
Gallagher, like, I don't understand that at all. It's just completely...
You came here and flopped, and then you're going
to
do that.
And we gave him a little outlet, I think.
Yeah.
He wasn't... If he didn't come to us, he was really down the bottom of the barrel, but... Well, I'm not bitter or salty at all.
No, not at all. Definitely not. Fucking boy.
Damn it.
No, I think we're going to win. I can see us getting that bounce again. We always do well against Blackburn at home. We do terribly against them away. But I feel like we can hit on some good form and get playing that 4-2-3-1 with the four at the back, get some pace up top, get attacking, get the home fans on side, because things could really look up then, because we're coming towards the end of the season now. The pressure looks to be off a bit. And if the fans are coming back, the weather's better, you know, there's a good end to the season. We can then go into the transfer window. We can go into the transfer window feeling a bit better. And if the bottom tiers are fixed, things could be feeling a little bit better then afterwards, couldn't they?
Yeah. You're spot on, I think, yeah. What do you think about the safe standing, Tommy?
I'm happy for it, definitely, because I'm assuming that people will want to go back to the stadium then and be like, oh, something new about it then. And it's behind that goal as well, so it's giving them people options to stand there and, I don't know, just be like Blues fans almost. I agree with it. It's a good idea for them, and it's a good interaction with the fans as well, even if it is a little bit of a diversion tactic. I don't really care, to be honest, because it's a good improvement.
Yeah, I mean, to get more fans in, or, you know, especially behind that goal and make the Tilton, you know, more intimidating, I think, is a massive, massive plus. But when I read it, it does seem like you said, a diversion.
It's more just the timing and the way it came out in terms of so the response as well, and all of that stuff.
Literally, they released, right, what do you think about safe standing? Then bang, here's a petition, you know, here's like a poll. Tell us what you think the same day. And it was like, to me, it sounds like, well, if we can get away with spending less money and putting seats in, let's put safe standing and everyone will be happy. And it's like,
But that's what I mean, exactly. Like you said, the diversion, that's what came to my mind, just because of the response and the timing from that letter. It just seemed like, yeah, they're trying to make it sound like, oh, well, we've got this in the works, or we've had this thought, you know, whatever. But yeah, I agree with it.
How confident are you for the owners leaving anytime soon?
I don't think I'm very hopeful at all.
I am happy about, I do think things are moving in the right direction with stuff like this, you know, the supporters group and that sort of thing.
We're doing everything we can, exactly, I think, as supporters, you know. I think it'd be nice to spread the word even more, because I think there's still a whole ton of supporters who probably aren't aware of how they can get involved or even have their voices heard. But yeah, in terms of what impact does it have on BSHL? Like, you know, I think we've both said it on the podcast, haven't we? You know, and you keep hearing it. People who are in power don't even turn up to the games. They're not even aware of, you know, what's going on. And it annoys me, because it's like, if you read into it, you know, we keep hearing in the last statement, oh, the 21.64 or whatever it is percent being sold is like the first date. Well, we've known this for ages, but even in the last statement, it was like kind of put in there as if it was something new. And again, that kind of feels like it's something that is to kind of keep the masses kind of quiet. If you're not reading into it, you're not keeping up to it, you might read that and think, oh, that's like something that's new. But it's not, you know, that's the whole structure of the deal that was even going before, you know, Max Coe got involved, you know, even with Bozo Bassini. That was the agreement even there, you know. It was going to be bought in stages. From our understanding, even that, when they get that, or, you know, you buy that 21.64%, BSHL can still pull out.
Yeah, well, that's the main thing. So, I just think even though we've had real interest from parties, I do think their negotiations are just dire. basically. BSHL are kind of holding
They don't have any incentive to leave. That's what it seems like. If they've, there's no, you know, incentivization to for them to go, and this stock, or you know, the stock exchange is genuinely so valuable. I mean, I'm not sure that the monetary value on it, but clearly it is. What's to say they will leave?
Yeah.
What, you know,
I mean, the only thing we can do is obviously put pressure on. I think it is at a better place than it has been for ages, really. So I do think we are going about it the right way. It's just, yeah, it's just keeping the pressure on, really, and holding them accountable.
It's the speed of it now, isn't it? It's to making sure that they get out as soon as possible.
I've heard quite a few Blues fans having the mindset of, you know, maybe they're waiting for the Jude Bellingham money to come in, and maybe that will speed up the process.
Take their bag and.
Oh no, I'm kind of hoping that's true.
Maybe it means we'll get rid of them.
I mean, how sad is that, though, thinking that our best player in our club's history, and we're going to get, what, how much is it if he goes? I think it's roughly get 25% of whatever he's sold for. So roughly, if it's 200 million, it's about 50 million. They're going to take pretty much all of that.
Yeah.
And then leave, and the club's going to have none of that?
Yeah, I know.
I know.
That's so shit.
It is, mate. It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. But I do think they, one way or another, they need to go, because I think the damage they're going to cause the club is going to be much more.
And I think they do see the club as, I don't know how genuinely profitable Birmingham City is, obviously, but they do see it as a club that they just take money out of, you know, their
name on a bit of paper.
Exactly, yeah. They do obviously get some money out of it, so
yeah.
I do think, yeah, even if they were in charge, I don't think we'd see much of that money reinvested, really.
Yeah, from Jude. Yeah. I mean, there is also the other side of it. If you do look at, you know, when they first came in, look at Redknapp and all the damage he caused, really. But he did have money. He did have money behind him, more money than we've seen in a long time. You know, you got like Shaken Doyle, they recommend, wasn't it? Oh,
no, ridiculous.
Or Shaken Doyle.
Oh, yeah, that plank of wood in the midfield. Yeah. So there is also, I don't know, playing devil's advocate. Right now, it's an absolute shit show, right? But there has been money. They have put in money at some point. So, doesn't mean I want to move.
I know, it's starting to sound
like you're trying to get the fan group of BSHL. I definitely want them out. But if you do pay, like, a, I guess, looking at, like, funding and stuff like that, there was at one point some funding, unfortunately.
Yeah, they've just been incredibly naive with all the money they've been giving out. Like, they gave Redknapp £17 million. Why the hell they thought that was a good idea? Or it was actually probably more, actually, when I think of it.
Yeah.
Why on earth that was the case? It's wrong people in the wrong club, really. So, yeah, I'd be glad to see the back of them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly that.
Score predictions for Blackburn. What are we going for?
Do you want to go first?
Go on then. I will go. I'm always going to go for a win. Yeah, always going to go for a win. I'm going to go. I'll go 2-1. I reckon Juki gets a goal, and I reckon Hannibal.
Jeez.
Yeah, Juki's got a goal coming.
Yeah, he does. He does. He's been putting a proper shift in.
Shout out to Juke, man.
Shout out to you. I'm going to say, yeah, a Blues 1-0 win.
And who's scoring that? Who scored at what minute?
Let's get Kadra another goal. Let's get Kadra another goal.
What about you,
Tommy? I'm going to go with you. I'm thinking 2-1 myself. I'm also thinking Duke's going to score. I don't know why, but I just feel like that's the type of game I can see it happening. But I can see it going 1-0 to Blackburn. Then Duke gets the equaliser. Yeah. And then I can see us getting a proper scrappy goal to win it. But I feel we'll play well. That's the one thing I'm hoping for. Because a good performance like that, have a bit of a rest in between. And then hopefully Eustace will probably go, you know what, we're all right for the rest of the season. Get some of the youngsters in, get a bit of pace up front. Let's fucking go for it. Let's just see if we can get a win or something. It'd be great if we can, because it's we're going more to the mid-table then, and relegation's just like done for the last five games, isn't it?
And how nice would it be to genuinely end the season without any fear of relegation? Just kind of, yeah, just no worries, and you can really enjoy. And like you said, man, when the weather's good, it's like Andrew,
They are the best days at the games, yeah, honestly. They are so good.
Yeah, you actually can enjoy the game. It feels
you
like
can wear just a t-shirt.
Absolutely dying, yeah.
So, well, yeah. I mean, there was one game last season. I think it might have been like Sheffield United. No, it was ages ago. What did I say last season for? There was a game a couple of seasons ago. I think it was the Monk season. It was a summer evening. I was thinking, oh, this would be nice just to get like a t-shirt and shorts on. Went there. It was absolutely fucking freezing. I couldn't believe it. I had to put my dad's coat on. I was so cold. I was like, the fuck is going on? It's summer.
Oh, God. Wear big gloves, man. Wear big gloves every week. Get take gloves. Never. And the whole game is moaning.
Oh no.
Moaning. But yeah.
Yeah, I think a win against Blackburn and then we are pretty much safe then. Because what, we're 9 points off the bottom now. And then we've got 8 games to play. No. How many games have we got left to play? I've forgotten. Oh, now.
Is it not 8? Around the other, isn't it?
We've got 8. Yes, after that it'll be 7. So more wins than obviously we are far away from relegation then. And then we can just chill out for the rest of the season and hopefully have like a top half finish. If we can go on and really finish well, that'd be great. That would be.
And then worry about next season.
I know, yeah.
And all of our good players leaving.
Oh, God. Can you imagine that? Could you imagine like that last game of the season? It would. Honestly, we could say goodbye to about 8 players. Honestly,
and those 8 players are not fringe players. That's the problem. A lot of them are, you know, salute, like trusty going. I'll probably cry.
Oh yeah, I'm crying.
Sanderson, if he don't come as well, that'd be a very sad day for me. Bielik, I think, is our Patrick Vieira. Again, extremely sad day for me. Maybe I won't go to any of the games the rest of the season. It's gonna be. It's like, you know, saying bye to a child. So, you know, it's pretty, let's not put, you know, a downer on the episode.
Looking forward to next season. Yeah.
We'll see. There's going to be, no doubt, there's going to be a whole lot of hard work to be done over some of that. Hopefully we stay it. But again, that's where I think the hard work's going to start again with recruitment and, you know, getting things ready so we're not in another relegation battle, you know, next season.
Ray Gardner's done good, though. Yeah. I trust in him.
Definitely.
Do you?
Oh, massively.
In terms of signings, in terms of getting people in the door, I think I hope we can do it again, yeah.
How cash-strapped we've been and how creative he's been and the level of player he has brought in or the club have brought in, I think, needs to be applauded. Look at Trusty. For an example this season, I think the deal to bring Chong in for 1.5 million, I said it as soon as we signed him, but even if you just look at it in like a financial standpoint, we bought him for 1.5. We could have probably sold him that day for more than 1.5, I feel like, just as an asset.
The season you see teams do that sometimes.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I think for us, it's massive. And again, like when I look at the team that went down after we won the Carling Cup, that team was brilliant. Like, we had such a good core there. You know, Roger Johnson, Scott Dan, for me, were like two of the best partnership in the Prem at that point, right?
Easily, yeah.
Yeah. And I think with this team as well, the players that we've got, you know, the permanence that we have, we've got a good foundation to kind of build on.
Yeah.
But we've got to do that. You know, Bakuna gets his criticism, I think, because, you know, people think he's a little bit lackadaisical or whatever. But I do genuinely think that's his play style. And Chongi, two massively creative players. You just think them alone, you can start to pad out a team around. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I don't want to see us, A, lose those players and lose, you know, something that we've got, you know.
I mean, in the right hands, if we didn't have, obviously, the situation that we've got around us, in the right hands, you've got a lot to build off, you do.
It's just whether we can. I completely agree with that, It's that endless frustration we got with Blues. It's kind of just like, yeah, we've got some good players, but the confidence is shot to pieces because there's nobody to replace them when they are unfit. It's like, Trusty, the season's missed one game, isn't he? So it's just like relentless for him. And he's never played in the Championship before. We've not signed him off Sheffield Wednesday or a team that have been in the Championship before and he's been there. So it's like he's.
Like professional English football. He hasn't even played a game, I don't think, for Arsenal competitively. So it's mad what he's done and how good he is.
Yeah,
give him his applause. He is brilliant.
Yeah, and that's why we need more investment and bigger squad as well.
Yeah, massively, massively. But I think Trusty's going to have everyone after him from the end of the season. You know, if he's, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes to a, I don't know why he'd come to Blues, basically. I think he's going to go to the top championship team, or even could potentially go as like one of the championship teams that go up, really. I think he's that good. And I think he's on a lot of clubs' radar.
Yeah.
If he isn't, I think they're mad.
Mm. No, I agree with that. I can see him going to like Burnley or somebody. I thought I think he would fit into like company's team well.
Yeah. I think he's a player that absolutely rise to that level as well. Yeah. Like, obviously, he plays ridiculous for us and he's a great player for us, but I genuinely think his ceiling's way higher.
Yeah, I agree. I still
do. So, it's been great to speak to you guys. It's been a really good episode. Do you want to quickly shout out your socials and those great hats that you're wearing as well?
Tipping the hat. You can find us on Instagram at the Tilton 2.
Yep. Twitter, Facebook at the Tilton 2. YouTube, the Tilton 2.
Yeah.
And our website.
Yeah, www.thetilton2.com. We do have these beautiful caps. Make BCFC great again. A piss take to Mr. Donald Trump there, but the message still stands. If you want one of them, jump over and head over to the website. They're available now. And I think both of us, massive thank you to Tommy. If you haven't checked out Tommy's content, make sure you do. We're always checking on you, Tommy. And I think, you know, we've known each other through, you know, our own content. And yeah, you're a top lad. And we love the stuff that you're doing, mate. So keep it up, mate.
Yeah.
An absolute pleasure.
Appreciate it, man. It's been great. So yeah, thank you guys for coming on. It's been absolutely fantastic having you on. Really appreciate you taking the time out to come and fill in for Jamie and Zach and everybody. Be sure to check out the Tilton 2, and you can also check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook and TikTok. All of the links are on the screen right now. Thank you guys for listening, and keep right on.
Keep right on.
Podcast Network.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.